Hello, my babies, and welcome to Poker in the Ears. I'm Uncle Daddy Joe Stapleton. He's my work wife, James Hardigan.
Happy National Hug a News Person Day, Joe.
I can't believe the gall they had to do this 3 days after Easter. Have they no respect for the Easter holiday? Coming up on today's show, it's our Irish Open recap show. And there's more to recap than usual because I missed basically the entire second half.
Oh, we had Paulie Joey again.
Yeah, I was able to work through it in Paris. In Ireland, it was a nasty stomach bug that had me down for the count for days 3 and 4 of this year's event. Other than being racked with guilt, I actually don't even really know what happened. So I get to hear about it along with y'all, including my first interaction with this year's winner, Taro Laurilla. Is that right? Is that how you
Taro
say it?
Taro Laurilla.
Taro Laurilla, who came from behind, I think, to take it down and will be joining us on this week's show.
Some of that information is accurate.
Okay, good. I can't wait to find out the rest. Taro wasn't the only one who won stuff during the Irish Open, including several members of Team Poker Stars who cashed and won and went deep in various events, and we'll be giving them all their proper shout-outs as well. And, of course, we've got to recap some of the fun and games from Ireland. Team England versus Team Ireland, the Feraldo leaderboard. Who won the contest for flushing the toilet in their hotel room the most times? That one I think I won.
Okay, that's a level of detail we don't know. It's enough to say you weren't well.
But there was a lot going on is my whole point, and it wasn't all poker. Lots of fun stuff. I was too sick to even watch movies, believe it or not. But Robin Berg has decided he wants to quiz me on the subject of Captain America Civil War. And why the hell not? Might as well prepare for what's about to happen in real America in the next 9 months or so. So I'm in. I'm in for the cartoon version. Why not?
I have not really had the chance to watch any movies either. The only thing I've been watching on my relatively short travels, because the flight from London to Dublin is not a long one, is I've started watching The Gentlemen, the Netflix series, which is a spin-off of the Guy Ritchie movie. I haven't seen the film, by the way, although by all accounts it's not bad for a Guy Ritchie movie. And the TV show is watchable. It ticks a lot of the cliche boxes about his stuff that annoy me, but overall, it's perfectly passable.
You got to give the people what they want. I did see the movie, and I thought the movie was fine. Again, airplane viewing, but I thought it was perfectly watchable. Didn't have any major issues with it. You got McConaughey. You got Hugh Grant. I mean, it's pretty hard to go too wrong with those guys.
That's true.
And I assume, what's the guy's name who's in the new one?
Theo Harris.
He's like a new, he's a new stud, so maybe he'll be, you know, a new McConaughey. Who knows? I did want to give a quick shout-out to a couple of movies I watched while I was in Amsterdam. Well, one is a shout-down. Roadhouse. I almost want people to watch it so that they can just see. Now, I know the original wasn't a masterpiece, but the original had some heart. It had some soul. It had a guy getting his throat ripped out. None of that is in the remake. And you have cartoon character Conor McGregor chewing up the scenery and what's got to go down as one of the biggest mistakes in movie history, putting that
down. Yeah, I don't need to see this. Theo Harris is something different. Theo James is the actor who's in The Gentlemen. Apologies.
Theo James. Okay. Now, on the opposite of Roadhouse, a movie that got really bad reviews, bombed at the box office, caused people to write think pieces like, our movie's over, was Argyle. I loved Argyle. I loved it.
Okay, this might be one of those occasions where you are a bizarre outlier. I have not found a single person, be that reviewer or be that cinema goer, who's had a positive thing to say about this film.
Oh, no, I loved it. Look, it's Matthew Vaughn, and I do have a soft spot for Matthew Vaughn, especially for the first and third Kingsman movies. I thought the first one's a masterpiece. I really didn't care
That's
for the second
overrating
one.
Overrating it massively. Yep. It's a very watchable film.
10 out of 10.
Oh,
it's
come
a masterpiece.
On.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. The second one, not very good. Third one, watchable. But Argyle, I absolutely loved it. So I'm curious to see what people think of Argyle. And then I also saw Drive Away Dolls. The Coen brothers don't make movies together anymore. I don't know if you know this. And this is an Ethan Coen co-written and directed movie. But it really reminded me of like an updated classic Coen Brothers movie, and I liked it. I thought it was quite watchable.
Okay. I can't believe, by the way, that I recently recorded a YouTube video where I said that you have great taste in films, and you've come out with a couple there that have me questioning my judgment. I did, by the way, during the Irish Open live stream, insinuate or hint or imply that I was considering playing the Sunday Million Anniversary this coming Sunday and potentially streaming it. I don't think I'm in a position yet. I don't really think I'm there yet to be streaming poker on YouTube. I'm still releasing kind of short-form pre-recorded content.
Sorry, do you mean like technologically there, poker skill level-wise there?
Both. I think it's something for down the line. Maybe by the time we get to WCOOP, maybe towards the end of the year, I might play poker online and consider streaming it. But yes, right now, I think that's a step too far. So I'm going to be releasing another video on my YouTube channel on Saturday, which will be the second part of the Q&A, so people can check that out. But on Sunday, I hope to play the Sunday Million Anniversary because I do describe it as the must-play MTT of the year. We're going to stream the final table on Tuesday of next week. And around that time, I believe, very soon, we will learn the full schedule for Scoop 2024. The dates are out there. I actually think the full schedule of tournaments should be out by the time we drop next week's podcast. And I think Scoop in North America is before that, right?
Yeah, I think Scoop is imminent in North America. If you're in New Jersey, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ontario, y'all have got your own various Scoops. Lots of easy ways to get into those things, and I would check out the Poker Stars USA's Twitter page for more information on that. If you're in Ontario, though, don't bother. Arlie Chabon's going to win them all.
As is the case. All right, let's talk about what went down in Dublin last week. Here is my four-word recap of the 2024 Irish Open, Joe. An exhausting 8 days.
Well, it was only 6 days for me. But yes, I was so exhausted that I was literally bedridden for the last two. So, you know, obviously I thought things were off to a good start with us playing that first event, me going pretty deep in it. A good start is like we sort of adapted these ambassador titles now.
Yeah.
And it killed me.
It did feel to me, though, that like last week's podcast on location was almost like the bridging stone between the fun part and then the hard work part. And obviously, we did have a four-day live stream to produce. And then it just became like any other event we travel to, only with very long days. Fortunately, and especially fortunately on the days when you weren't available, we did have quite an extended cast of characters who were able to come in and help us with the live stream coverage this year.
Yeah, that was really excellent. Everyone who came in, Dara, David, Tom, Nick Walsh dropping in, even though he wasn't supposed to be working. Griffin was there, obviously. Who else am I missing from the guest? Fintan.
Yeah. Yeah, former champion David Doherty, of course. Porrig O'Neill dropped by, the EPT Prague champion. No, thanks to everyone who helped out on the live stream. It was a fun 4 days. You obviously, we discussed, Joe, your amazing result last week. After that, of course, we had Alex Romero, one of our Spanish commentators, win the Heads Up Championship. And then, and it's funny because David Lapin directly referred to Tonka, quote, getting the monkey off his back in last week's show. And less than 24 hours later, he did it. He won a live tournament. He won the 5K high roller.
Tonka's not saying it, but I'm pretty sure it was me finishing fourth in my first ever live tournament, really fucking completely repping the banner. And he's like, holy shit, if Stapes is going to get this close, he's nipping at my heels. I got to win a live tournament.
Yeah.
He hasn't said it publicly yet, but I'm like 99% certain that's what it was.
And crucially, not winning one of the 250s or 350s, winning a 5K.
Well, to be fair, I outlasted way more players in my event than he did in his event.
So let's just talk about some of the side action that was taking place at the Irish Open. You referenced the Team England versus Team Ireland competition, Joe. There was horse racing, there was sumo wrestling, there was darts, there was shuffleboard, there was more. And then I believe Team England had more points. So Spraggy came into the heads-up battle against Fintan with a slight chip advantage. And in one hand, just one single hand of heads-up poker, he claimed victory for Team England.
Do we have any details on the hand? Was it did they just like agree to make it one hand?
No,
nope,
that's
it an
just the way it went down. Just the way it went down. That's
really?
Poker. There was also the Feraldo leaderboard, and David Lappin, who was a guest on last week's show, was a commentator on this year's Irish Open. He won the Feraldo leaderboard following his emotional rendition of Fairy Tale of New York in the karaoke competition. So my understanding is next year it becomes the Lappin leaderboard.
I mean, it sounds like I'd rather lose. If it means I have to do a bunch of work next year, I got to run a whole competition. Ugh, who needs it? Thank God I didn't participate. All right, well, let me get my shit out of the way. Almost literally. I don't know what was wrong with me. James, on the walk home from day two when we finished quote-unquote early, and you were like, I hate to break it to you, but it's an hour later than you think it is because the clocks are changing today.
Yep.
I could feel it in my bones. I could feel, you know, when you start getting those aches, like those little body
right.
aches or whatever. I could feel it. And I should have known better because I was sleeping really well the days leading up to that, which is like weird for me. So on day three, I was up basically all night. I tried to go to work. Thankfully, you took a look at me. Nikki, our production manager, took a look at me. Chris, our producer, took a look at me. Everyone was like, you look terrible. Go home. So I went home. And honestly, all I felt was just complete fatigue and a bellyache.
Yeah.
And then on day four, somebody burst the pin. Somebody burst the pin, and I tried to go to work again. And again, everyone was like, please do not be here right now. Go home. And that's when, like, the floodgates opened. Stuff started leaving my system.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a flood. It was...
Okay,
As
I said before,
you
don't have to go into detail. It sounds to me like it was clearly some kind of stomach bug, which may be food-related, to be brutally honest, because no one else had the same thing, right? If it was something different, you'd think that more people would have got ill.
It was like from Airplane, because everyone had the same dinner that night, but I had something different.
Right.
And I was the only one that got a little weird the next day. So I should have had the deep fried chicken covered in sugar. Instead, I went with what I thought was a slightly healthier option of a grilled meat patty with lettuce and tomatoes, which turned out probably to be completely full of E. coli. So by the time we were four-handed, I actually felt fine. I tried to come back. Everyone was like, we got this. It's handled. But what did I miss leading up to that point?
I think the real story was deep runs for people that we know. And I found it ironic that having brought David and Dara onto the commentary team for this event, they then basically decided that they were going to skive from any work behind the mic because they decided to make deep runs. finishing in the... Dara finished in the top 50. David finished in the top 40. And after we lost all of the kind of PokerStars pros, for us to have Brandon Wynn, the VIP host for live events, who also has to look after team pros when they're on location, and trust me, they need a lot of looking after, to see him make it into the top 30 was just really, really delightful. It was a great story to follow.
Brandon actually did my laundry for me on this trip in the midst of his deep run in the main event. Now, I just want to be clear, to clear my conscience. I asked Brandon if he knew where I could get laundry done. He said, they upgraded my room. I've got a washer and dryer. And I said, look, I don't want to come invade your room, but if you could just put it in the machine and put it in the dryer, promise not to fold it. I don't want you doing my laundry. Fine. And you know what he did? He folded every fucking piece. It was so perfect. It was better than, it was 100% better than I would have done it. And that was on his day two. He did that on his goddamn day two. So I love that kid. I'm very proud of him. How much did Brandon actually make?
I think because he got the ladder, it was $9,500. So just shy of 10K, which is a great result for Brandon. Everyone absolutely delighted for him. Then the real stories became Connor Beresford, who, when we got down to 20, many people considered to be the firm favorite to win, certainly the most accomplished player of the remaining field. He went out, I want to say, 18th. We ended the day with two tables. This is the penultimate day, by the way. This is the Sunday, the day three, because we knew it was going to be a tall order to get down to the final nine. So we did get down to 16. In fact, I think we got to 14 after playing 10 levels. And then the big story became Porrig Parkinson. The fact that we had one of the OGs of poker, one of the godfathers of Irish poker, still in the field, still a competitor. But again, he was one of the first players out on that final day as we played down to the final table and played down to a winner. Not to say there weren't other Irish players in the field, people like Aidan Quinlan, Oliver Boyce. But again, I do love the fact that the Irish Open has become a truly international event. You had many different countries represented when we got down to the final table. And yeah, it played, I guess, how you would expect it to play once we got to a point where there was a money jump with every single elimination and no one is that deep stacked. ICM does tend to take over and you're just waiting for those inevitable coolers to take place.
And it seems like the coolers did take place fairly regularly, because when I left for the day, I think you're at 14. And then when I woke up from my nap, you were around like four.
Yeah, we got to the final table within two levels, and we did lose players at a relatively decent pace, playing with an hour-long clock, which always helps. By the way, when we got down to two tables, I want to say towards the tail end of day three, and certainly by day four, that's when the Finns started to take over the YouTube chat, and I realized that Tero Laurila, who at this point we had not seen on stream, had a significant fan base and a big following on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know what... I always want to know, is there like a Finnish bat signal that goes up, like a big poker chip in the sky, and everyone knows to tune into YouTube? I just wonder how word spreads to get people tuned in. But that word had a lot of double consonants in it.
Yeah. So... Heap Nin was a player who I would say dominated for a long period of time and dominated much of the final table. I think most people took his antics in good humor, in the spirit in which they were attended. And there was one little run in between him and Ollie Boyce where Boyce was clearly partly trying to goad him into a call, but also I think genuinely had enough of him just, if ever the phrase chirping chips was appropriate, whenever Heap Nin would win a pot, whenever he kind of like increased his stack, you would know about it. The whole table would know about it. The whole room would know about it. But really, the point where things really got interesting is when we get to three players and when we get to the deal. And need to ask Tero about this, because initially, Nin Heap was saying, I'll deal with that guy, pointing to Johnston, but I won't deal with that guy, pointing to Tero. And I didn't really understand what he meant by that. And I initially said, look, he's basically said he's happy to look at the numbers, but he's not doing a deal. I think there's a 5% chance this deal gets done. But because I don't think he really understood what was being proposed, when he saw the numbers written down, when he saw that he could lock up at that point more than 300K, it's like, oh, well, in that case, and yes, the three-way deal did get done.
So I did see some of this in the coverage, and what it looked like to me is that Nin was unaware that you could look at the numbers before agreeing to the deal.
I think that might be fair analysis, that he didn't understand that you didn't say deal, or it wouldn't be an even chop, that there would be, obviously, whether it's by ICM or whether it's by Chip Chop, that the payouts would not be even. So yes, it was useful, actually, that the others demanded to see the numbers, because it then talked him into actually doing the deal. And he ended up with more prize money than any other player, even though he finished second.
Yeah, and I know that you guys cover this on the stream, but it is worth mentioning now that I know that the fellow reached out to both the stream and to me personally. Apparently, Nin's bus driver was invested in this story because apparently Nin, who took the bus to the tournament that day, was late and was in a hurry and somehow made it the bus driver's knowledge of where he was heading and why. And I just love that that's how tight the Irish poker community is, that you've got a guy riding the bus and now his driver is invested in the tournament. I guess my question is, do we think Nin will be riding the bus still after scoring a couple of hundred grand?
Well, I would like to think that any six-figure score is life-changing money for anyone, regardless of their circumstances. I guess we should ask what the money means to the winner, because we are thrilled to be joined on this week's podcast by the champion of the 2024 Irish Open, Tero Laurila. Tervetuloa!
Tervetuloa, kiitos kutsusta. Thank you.
That's as far as my Finnish goes, I'm afraid. So in English, I will say, congratulations, amazing result, and you seemed genuinely thrilled to have won. I take it this means a lot to you.
Yeah, you got it correctly. I felt it like I wanted to win it maybe the most of all of the players on the, at least on the three last players.
Yeah.
I really wanted to get a trophy and my name on the winning section and on the wall. But yeah, you were correct. I was very thrilled.
What makes this desire so great in you, because of how long you've played poker for, because of how many friends were watching?
I think it comes from inside, because I have been playing sports all my life. In Finland, we have this ball game called floorball. So it's like a little bit similar than ice hockey, but no skating. But it's like inside hockey, but not as rough as ice hockey is. But yeah, I have been playing sport all my life. And I just love trophies. Winners are the ones who get remembered. So maybe that's the reason why I want it so badly.
That's very true. Joe mentioned the fact that there are a lot of people watching. You seem to have a decent number of fans on the rail. Was this like a traveling group of Finns? Because it seemed like there was a decent kind of Finnish turnout in the Irish Open.
Yeah. I joined our Finnish WhatsApp group, Irish Open, and there was like 34 names. I don't know all of these guys, of course. I know them by face. But yeah, there was at least 34 guys, and I think there's like 10 more who was not in the WhatsApp group. So maybe there was like 50 people from Finland playing Irish Open. That's my guess. But yeah.
Is seeing a guy like Zygmunt in the Irish Open as big of a deal for you as it is for us?
Yeah, because back in the days, I wanted to be second Zygmunt from Finland. So that's one reason why I had my rough path in this poker trip back in the days. But yeah.
Because I think if we go back, what is it, nearly 20 years that you've been playing? Like Ilari Sahamias, you're a PLO player mostly, right?
Yes, correctly. Almost 20 years, yeah.
And what brought you into the game and why PLO? It seems to be a very Finnish thing. If you think about Antonius as well, he's also a PLO player.
What brings me into the game? I started as a home game with my friends. We played Texas Hold'em, my first time ever playing Hold'em. I remember actually the hand which one hooked me in the game. And it was like six-way limp pot. We check down on the river. There is four clubs on the board. I have queen of clubs. I'm like betting, one guy raising, two guys folding, one guy re-raise. I re-raise, one guy goes all in, one guy calls. I'm like, yeah, I call. And then I'm with my queen of clubs. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna win. And then there's king of clubs and ace of clubs. I'm like, wow. That was the moment when I was hooked in the game. First time ever playing poker.
Wow.
And after that, like 1 week later, I saw World Poker Tour, Juha Helppi was playing Bahama like amateur against the professional. He won the match. Maybe it was like $5,000 or I don't know. But I was like, wow, poker in TV like everybody else. And boom, that's it.
This is so Finnish. You didn't get hooked by winning a hand. You got hooked by losing a hand.
Yeah. And PLO, I started as a tournament poker. I grind No Limit Hold'em tournaments like first 3-4 years, I don't remember. And at some point, I wanted to be the next Antonius and Sahamies. Yeah. But obviously, I was not one of these guys in PLO. But yeah, long path.
It seems like you've certainly got the personality to be a thing in poker. You stream, right? Or do you YouTube? What's your deal?
So far, I do only YouTube. But yeah, I'm doing some streaming at some point. But last 6 months, I have been traveling all over the world after COVID also. So basically, last 2 years, I have been traveling. And 6 months ago, I started my YouTube channel. So I have not been capable of playing online poker of streaming because I have been traveling all around. So I have just done basic vlogging of my poker trip. I'm just telling hand histories, no strategy, basically. I'm just telling what fucking happened in my poker session. I win, I put money in, then I win or lose. That's my story in poker. And surprisingly, I'm so surprised how many people are interested in this kind of basic stuff so far.
I mean, there are a lot of them on the virtual rail on our YouTube channel watching the last 2 days of the Irish Open. There was a massive influx of Finnish viewers. So yes, you've certainly built up a big following in your home country.
Yeah. My regular average viewing is like 3,000 per video, which is amazing. Like thinking about 3,000 people in the same room, fuck, that's mad. That is a lot of people. But yeah. But how much was in stream? Do you know how many Finnish viewing?
I mean, obviously, the people who are actually in the comments don't necessarily reflect the wider audience.
Of course,
But let's put it this way. It was massively off the charts what we normally get. There are some very engaged Finnish poker fans who are regs on our streams, but that number multiplied massively when they saw that you were making a deep run. And they were not happy until you finally took a seat on camera on the main stage, at which point we were at the final table.
Yeah, I can imagine. And maybe in my second last vlog, I was like, okay, guys, if you are watching the stream, maybe you can push something out of there. And
yeah,
it looks like they did it.
We don't have a choice if you make the final table. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Because coming into that final day, you were the chip leader, you were the big stack. And by the time we got to the final table, you were kind of middle of the pack, maybe one of the shorter stacks. So what was your plan? What was your strategy when it got to 9 players?
Of course, pay jump by pay jump. And lucky for me, these 20 years on my poker trip, I have been, I would say, best friend with Kimmo Kurko. So even I have been struggling in this poker path, but being a friend with a player like that, he has taught me a lot. And so understanding, even I don't play tournaments, like last 15 years, I have not played basically at all. But being a friend with Kimmo, I understood, okay, my only strategy is to climb one pay jump by pay jump. So
interesting that both of you made a deep run in this event, right? He made the top 20?
Yeah, 16th. And I have to say, it's so dumb to say out loud, but I was so sure that it's going to be me and Kimmo in the heads up. When it's two table left,
yeah,
with fucking Kimmo, we have been making jokes 20 years about this, seeing each other in the heads up. I was like, okay, this is the time. But yeah, of course.
So with your strategy of laddering up, did you have any very difficult decisions about hands to play? Like I had a laddering up situation this week, but it was always ace king. Okay, I have to go with it. Pocket jacks. It was never like two fives. You know what I mean? I had a lot of really easy decisions. Did you have any tough ones?
I'm going to say I've never seen a player get dealt so many pocket pairs at a final table.
Yeah. it was unbelievable how, I don't know, 16, 18, I don't know, but it was ridiculous amount of pocket pairs, yeah. So basically, this kind of starting hands, it makes it easier. But when I get dealt, was it my third time with aces and I got no fucking action? That was the first time I felt furious inside my, how is this possible? I don't have chips anymore. I have only this short stack when I'm having these pocket pairs all the time. But when you ask about this difficult situation, probably the most difficult situation was when this young guy who was finished in third place, Johnston. Yep.
Yes.
He opens under the gun with eights. The guy on my right, Boyce, Boyle.
Oliver Boyce, yep.
Boyce, yeah. He went all in with kings and I had tens. That was probably the most difficult situation. But when Boyle placed his first hand in final table, I marked it instantly.
Yeah, yeah. It was phenomenal to see you pick up aces like three times, what seemed like in one orbit, and every time was raise and everyone else folds. I can't imagine how frustrating that must be. Interesting you brought up Oliver Boyce, because obviously, Heapnin, who later down the line you would play heads up against, he was quite vocal at the table. He liked to talk a lot. Some players, including Oliver Boyce, seemed quite bothered by that. You didn't seem to care at all.
Yeah, also my friends, they were tilting for Nice table talk. My friends were tilting, but maybe it's because of my background of the sports in floorball, what I told you earlier. There is verbalik in, because it's a contact game at some level, and also you are trying to get under your opponent's
trash
skin.
Talk, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I was like, I don't care. What the fuck I care? There was one moment when I wanted to say something. It was my queen high call when I was showing my hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one time when I wanted to say, easy game.
Yes.
But I didn't say it. I was like, okay, I don't need to say it. I was thinking like one millisecond. I was like, okay, now it's my time. No, I don't say it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just staple my hand.
I think he was already kind of like shell-shocked enough by you making that call. I think you kind of just would have like destroyed the man emotionally had you said anything as well. We are going to talk about the heads-up battle, but before we get to that, let's talk about the deal. We were talking about this a moment ago. Was he saying that he wanted to deal with Johnston but not with you? He seemed to be a bit confused.
Yeah, he said it. He said it, that he's not wanting to make a deal with me. And in the stream, I also asked, what you mean? Do you mean that you don't want to make a deal with me? And I understood that he did like this. And I was like, okay, it's okay, let's play. But I realized when I was listening like 10 seconds, 15 seconds more when they were talking with Johnston, that maybe he thinks if we make a deal, it's like a chop-chop three-way.
Yes.
Maybe he doesn't understand it's calculated by chips. Yeah, and
absolutely. And that's the thing that we were just discussing, is that our perception was when he saw the numbers and realized, oh, it's based on how many chips we have, and he realized how much money he could lock up, he's like, now I'm interested.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's my own
it makes
thought
sense.
Process of...
It makes sense.
It's really strange, right, when there's multiple language barriers at work and someone who is not experienced, like clearly he wasn't very experienced, you don't know what he means. And it did sound like, I don't like that guy, I don't make a deal with him, when really I took it as, I think you are right, by the way, I took it as, oh, he's really good, I don't want him to be setting the terms of the deal. Is kind of how I took it, but
that's
there was
also
there was lots of ways to take it. I imagine it must have been hard not to say something when Boyce went out either, right? Because that was kind of a weird hand. Everyone, if I remember that correctly, right, him and Nin got into some weird raising war with two really bad hands, right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, Nin opened the pot with 10 jack. Boyce called with ace-9, flop, he float with ace-9, with nothing. 10-7 deuce flop. Turn 8, so boys get ace-9 open-ender with a straight open-ender. But I didn't realize in the table when Nin raised 3 million, boys went all in 7.8 million.
Yeah.
So there is no fucking fold equity. And in the table, I was like, okay, there must be fold equity. And when I see the hands, I'm like, what? Insta call with Ten Jack. What's happening now? I'm watching stream. I'm even more surprised.
Okay, good, because I was also surprised.
Yeah, but it's great when you're at the table and you can benefit from someone else's mistake, put the words in inverted commas. So when we get to that heads-up battle, putting the chips to one side, did you feel that you had an advantage? Did you get the sense at that point that I've played more poker than this guy, I've played more tournaments than this guy, I reckon I can grind him down?
Yeah, in heads-up, for sure, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't. Okay, I said it out loud. But when we started the final table, my friends asked me who I want to pick in the heads up. And I named two names, this one or this one. Another one was there. So,
yeah. I mean, but you've already mentioned the Queen High Call. And I know that Phil Baker asked you about this at the time, immediately after winning. Again, it was not many players can make that call. And I'm interested, was it purely based on mathematics and the probability of him bluffing, or did you actually have some kind of read on him in that specific situation?
Yeah, probably it was my lizard brain somewhere there telling me, call this down. But yeah, there was few hands earlier in that hand during the heads up, which I think he's doing when he has a good hand and what he's doing when he has a bad hand. And in that spot, I think he was so polarized, multi-level, that he cannot have anything. I in my mind, on the turn, when I called turn, I made a decision. If the river is 9, jack, or 10, I fold. Then he hits like 60% of his bluffs. I was like, he's having these hands. Ace highs, he's playing different. One pair combos, he's playing different. Or two pair combos, king or flop. But yeah, of course, lots of luck on that call, because he might have queen six, and he's winning the pot. He's bluffing with the best hand sometimes, but luck. And I have been traveling with a friend, and we have been watching a heads-up match, Phil Galfond against Jungleman, this long match which is in YouTube. Yeah. And I fucking love the Jungleman's thought process. In that moment, I was just thinking Jungleman. he's probably having this. Fuck it, I call. That was my thought process.
Nice.
So, thanks to Jungle.
So, as you said, Terrell, you wanted to win the trophy. You wanted to be part of history. The first Finnish winner of this tournament that goes back 4 decades. Also, a decent payday, the better part of 300 grand. So what's the plan now? I guess travel more, play more tournaments in 2024?
Yeah. Basically, nothing is going to change. I will play poker as much as planned. I have also planned my summer, Vegas, Paris, and Barcelona, even before this trophy. So nothing is changing in next 5-6 months. I have also already planned everything. But yeah, it makes me think that I win 2 Hold'em tournaments during this 1 year, that maybe I should play more Hold'em, even. I have no fucking idea what these guys are nowadays doing. I'm playing with I'm just playing my old game book by 2007, how I managed to crash online games. Of course, I'm getting some updates from Kimmo Kurko and YouTube, but otherwise, I have not studied, so I'm just pressing buttons how I fucking feel it should go.
I love that approach, and I hope it continues working out for you. But congratulations once again. Thank you for talking to us today. Terrell, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Finally, for this week's show, we welcome this week's superfan and say hello to Robin Berg. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Robin, where are you coming at us from, buddy?
I'm coming from Sweden.
From Sweden. That's a popular name there, a Berg, yes?
I've not met that many people with that name before.
Okay, interesting,
Not the only Berg. People usually use some kind of other word before it, and then it ends with Berg in there.
That's true.
Or a Bergstrom.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yes. So basically, you've got half a name then, Robin, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about yourself?
I'm a hardworking dude. that working with my own stuff. I have my own company.
Oh.
That we are working in gardens and stuff. And yeah, trying to do my best here in life.
Sorry, did you say you're working on gonads and stuff?
No, gardens and like...
gardens.
Yeah.
Landscaping.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's a bunch of people from my hometown, like people I grew up with, all have various landscaping, gardening jobs. They work their asses off, but they do all right. You got a family yet?
I have a girlfriend, but no family yet.
Okay, all right. That's cool. I'm not going to ask any more questions about that. Her parents probably ask you plenty.
Yeah, that happens.
And where does poker fit into your life?
I started with my family at home before, but just for fun. And when I turned 18, I started playing PokerStars.
Nice.
And I've been was a losing player the first 5 years, probably, and have improved and started getting better.
Excellent.
And had a massive scoop third place here 2 years ago and made $35,000. So.
Were you on stream?
Yeah, I was actually on. You guys hosted me or raided me when I streamed myself the event.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. I just want to ask one last question about landscaping.
Oh,
yeah.
For God's sake.
What's the most annoying part of the job? Like, what's the thing that just drives you nuts? Is it customers that are like too picky? Is it like a really, is it rocks in the lawn? What's like a big bugaboo?
Both of them are pretty bad, but customers that don't know what they want is a big issue.
They don't know what they want, and they know when you do it that they're not happy.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Okay, so I know it's sometimes troublesome giving prizes, giving extra value to people in Sweden, so it might be an enhanced merch pack that we're playing for here, Robin. Your specialist subject, you wanted to do something Marvel-related. You've picked the movie Captain America Civil War, which I think we're all going to agree is one of the better, if not one of the best, Marvel movies.
Yeah, they kind of went south after Endgame, I would say. But
yes.
Yeah, but we all agree on that one.
For many people, this is like Avengers 2.5, right? This is almost like more than a Captain America movie.
Yeah.
This is kind of like bringing us towards the kind of conclusion of the Infinity Saga.
And James, do you remember the poker connection to this? Is that me and you and Broughton all saw this at EBT Monte Carlo, and they had a problem with the projection, and they started the movie over like three times. Like, we saw the first 5 minutes like three different times.
Indeed. It's the only time I've ever been to the cinema in Monte Carlo. Funnily enough, I didn't want to go back afterwards. Well, Patrick has rewatched the movie and has compiled a 10-question quiz. You know the format, Robin. You know how it
works.
So please give me a number between 1 and 10.
I'm going to choose number 1.
Number 1. In what city do Steve and Sam locate Bucky after the bombing?
I'm going to go with Bucharest.
Bucharest for 2 points.
I'm in big trouble here.
I take it you haven't had a chance to rewatch the movie recently, Joe.
I haven't had a chance to rewatch it recently. Now, I did rewatch it. I watched all of the movies during the pandemic, which I know at this point was 4 years ago. But this one in particular, my girlfriend was shit-faced when we watched it, and she was making the most hilarious commentary, and I recorded it secretly on my iPad. I don't really know what relevance that has to me doing well at this, but I was paying extra special attention because she had no idea what was going on in this movie.
Well, that's not going to get you any points, so you'll need to answer a question. 2 through 10 available.
I'm confused why Mr. Berg went low, so I'm also going to go low. 2, please.
Question number 2. What is Brock Romulo trying to steal from Lagos?
How specific is it?
Relatively specific. What type of thing is he after?
Vibranium.
Would you like to take the multiple choice options? Okay, this is your one mulligan. Is he trying to steal a biological weapon, an infinity stone, $20 million, a time-traveling device?
Well, now that those are the choices, I feel like it's a biological weapon.
I'll give you the point. It might be the only point you score.
But I think it's covered in vibranium.
3 through 10.
I actually think it's Steve's blood. We get to find out later. But I'm going to choose number 3.
Number 3. Where does the battle between Captain America's team and Iron Man's team take place?
Oh, this is rough. Do I need to know the town or the airport name?
Do you know what? The way that Patrick's done it is just the type of location rather than specifically
which
place it is.
Damn it, that's an easy one.
Yeah, that was really sad. I was going to say Berlin airport, but I don't really know.
Sure. Well, it is an airport, so you get the 2 points. Just out of, it's Leipzig airport. But yeah, that kind of... I think it should have been which airport does the battle take place in. Anywho, Joe, are we going to keep going in chronological order?
No. I'm despite now, I'm mad. I'm going 10 instead.
Okay. Shame, because question 4 was an absolute gimme. Question 10. Who created Captain America's shield?
Oh, the Elder Stark.
What is his name?
Hold on. Tony Stark is the kid's name.
I will remind you that there are multiple choice options. It's not like we've been doing this for 9 years.
I understand, but if I can get the extra point for coming up with it, I should. Fuck, I gotta take the choices.
Is it Joseph Stark?
No.
Stephen Stark?
No.
Howard Stark?
Howard Stark.
Howard Stark, 4 points.
Fuck!
What number would you like?
I'm going for number 7.
Number 7. Towards the start of the film, Tony Stark gives a speech at a school, at a college. Which school?
I'm going to go for MIT.
It is MIT for 2 points. Joe?
Question 4.
It is still available.
thank you, buddy.
Chadwick Boseman plays Black Panther. What is the character's real name?
T'Challa.
Correct. You got 2 points. Well done. 5, 6, 8, or 9, Robin?
I'm going to go for number 5.
What does Stan Lee make his cameo as in this movie?
Ooh. Our delivery guy from...
He is a delivery driver. So you have 8 points. Joe, you're on 4. You desperately need 2 here. 6, 8, or 9?
Give me 9, please.
Who composed the music score for this film?
That's rough.
I'll take the choices.
Is it Alan Silvestri, Hans Zimmer, Henry Jackman, or Michael Giacchino?
Alan Silvestri.
It was Henry Jackman. And we have 6 or 8 in the final round, Robin.
Then I'm going to go for number 6.
Which character appears in the post-credits scene?
In the first one and the second one.
I can only tell you based on the information that I've got here.
Then I'm going to go for that he's in Wakanda, so it's going to be Bucky and Steve.
That's not the answer I have.
Let him answer the other one. Maybe go ahead. What's the other one?
The other one is Spider-Man.
Do you know what? I'm not going to give it to you because you don't need the points. Question 8, Joe. You should be able to get this one and therefore make it a 2-point game rather than a 4-point game. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the documents that caused the divide between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers? They're referenced in pretty much every movie from here on out.
The Discordia papers, the Monrovia documents, what's the name of that place?
If I'm going to be hard on him, I have to be hard on you, and you've had your mulligan already. The Sokovia Accords is the answer.
I was thinking out loud. I could have got the choices, and I would have got it.
You never would have got it. It didn't make a difference anyway. I might as well have not bothered with the final question. You'd lost already. Robin, congratulations. You are a winner.
Thank you.
We will make sure you get a lovely pack of Poker in the Ears and PokerStars merch sent to you in Sweden.
Thank you so very much.
All right, my babies, that's just about all the time we've got for this week's show. Coming up next time, just a normal episode, not a recap, not a preview. It's just a regular episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess a mini recap, because as I mentioned earlier on, we will be streaming the final day of the Sunday Million anniversary next Tuesday. So okay. We will be talking about that, maybe talking to a player who makes a deep run, possibly the winner. But moving away from just straightforward recaps, it would be great if we could get an overview of what's happening in the US poker scene right now, because we do have our EPT goggles on for 90% of the time. And I think it's fair to say we sometimes ignore this not insignificant country.
Well, part of the reason we ignore it is because a lot of the poker news coming out of the U.S. is fucking hot garbage. No offense to my country and no offense to the poker industry, but it's a lot of shit that we tend to avoid. Now, if we're going to get someone who is a U.S. poker news expert, there's a chance that they're going to want to bring up some of these topics that we don't normally touch on, which I'm comfortable to do if it's someone else leading the charge.
Sure. I mean, do you know what? I don't even know what some of them are. So maybe we just let them give it to us both barrels and see what we make of it.
All right, fine. I'll get us somebody qualified to talk about all of the poker news, the good, the bad, and the ugly coming out of the USA. Where are we at on superfans?
I think Patrick's lining them up for the next few weeks. But look, we always need more. We have the dedicated Superfan Applications channel on the PokerStars Discord server. We invite you to apply. One thing that I was highlighted, when we saw that little VT of Josh, the superfan who came to the Hippodrome for the live show and won the silver pass to get to the Irish Open, he said, "I've yet to apply for Superfan versus Stapes because I don't know what my subject should be." Remember, you don't have to pick the subject. We can suggest it. It can just be general knowledge. We do love an occasional general knowledge quiz. So don't feel that you have to be an expert in something. We can always make it about poker trivia, real world trivia, whatever you want it to be.
Or it could be on the masterpiece that is The Kingsman.
Well, crucially, I'm not the one who'll have to rewatch it. It's Patrick, so I'm fine with that. And of course, there is also the general podcast discussion channel, which you can also partake in. And remember, it's free to sign up to the PokerStars Discord server, and there is a link in the podcast description.
All right, my babies, that is all the time we have got for this week's show. Next time, we'll be coming at you after the Sunday Million anniversary. But until then, for James Hartigan, I am Joe Stapleton. Smell you later.